Welcome to episode 28 of the Country Line Songwriter Series, where you'll hear from some of the most successful artists and songwriters working in Nashville today. Country music is all about storytelling, and this is where you'll discover the stories from the people themselves of how they managed to find their way into such a competitive industry and rise to the top, what motivates and inspires them, and what they've learned along the way. Michael Ray is a native of Eustis, Florida, who was first introduced to music by his grandfather, a local country and gospel musician. Ray's grandfather taught him how to play the guitar and gave him his first performance experience, letting him tag along to shows at various assisted living homes and community centers. Initially inspired by such classic country artists as Porter Wagoner, Merle Haggard, and Waylon Jennings, by his teens, Ray was expanding his taste, listening to more modern artists like Garth Brooks, as well as the eclectic influence of modern radio sounds, from rock to hip-hop. By the time Ray graduated from high school in 2006, he had decided to pursue his passion for country music. Forgoing a move to Nashville, Ray instead formed a band and began playing a consistent grind of shows all around southern Florida. He slowly built up a loyal following, a fan base that widened considerably after Lakeland DJ for WPCV 97 Country put his music into regular rotation. Soon, Ray was headlining the Orlando House of Blues and selling out shows all over Florida. In 2010, his independently released debut caught the ear of music industry manager Tony Conway, who began helping Ray take his career to a national audience. In 2012, he appeared on the CW talent competition The Next, where he was mentored by Big and Rich's John Rich. Ray was an audience favorite on the show and ultimately took home the top prize. After the show, he signed a publishing deal with Warner Chappell and in 2014 released his hit single, Kiss You in the Morning. His full-length, major-label self-titled debut followed in 2015 on Warner Music Nashville. Well-received, the set made it to number 4 on the country albums chart and spawned two more singles, Real Men Love Jesus and Think a Little Less. Over the next several years, Ray toured extensively before returning to the studio alongside producer Scott Hendricks. In 2016, he delivered his sophomore album, Amos, which featured the top 20 country single, Get to You. Amos debuted at 5 on Billboard's country albums charts upon its June release. Shortly after, One That Got Away became his second country airplay top 10 hit, reaching number 3. Her World or Mine closed out the album's chart run in 2019, reaching 22 on country airplay. The non-LP single Whiskey and Rain followed in 2020. It wound up anchoring Higher Education, the EP Ray released in August of 2021. Two more EPs, The Warehouse Sessions and The Bootlegger Sessions, appeared in 2022, offering alternative versions of previously recorded songs. Ray returned with a new single, 2023's dark-toned Get Her Back, and its accompanying EP, Dive Bars and Broken Hearts, which featured a duet with Megan Patrick on Spirits and Demons.
The Country Line Songwriter Series with Michael Ray.
The last time I saw you was actually CMA Fest last year.
Yeah,
it was
hot.
You'd just done your EP party at a dive bar.
Yep.
Of course, because it's, you know, very apt because of the EP.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an awesome, awesome night. It was great. Absolutely heavingly packed in there.
Everyone it was packed.
Like sardines, you know.
It was even hotter in there, I think, than it was outside in the summer of CMA Fest.
Yeah. Right, and CMA Fest is always...
Always. It's always the hottest. We always joke. It's like, and CMA Fest is right in the middle of when we're all touring.
Right.
You know, so probably 95% of artists are coming in, you know, from the road.
Yeah.
So you're going straight from the bus, straight to Riverfront or straight to, you know, other concerts or whatever it is. So you're coming in hot. It's hot outside. The shows are hot. The fan, everything. It's just hot.
It's
but it's a lot of fun, though. Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. So it looked like you were having a lot of fun that night anyway. How's it been since the EP's been out? It's been great. It's, you know, I keep hearing the music everywhere.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun. You know, this was the first time I've been working with Michael Knox, who produces Jason Aldean as well. And Michael... kind of been in my corner for, you know, many years, and it just felt like now was the right time to come together and work together. And it's been really cool. I really feel like, you know, the learning experiences I've had of working with other great producers have really helped me hone in my strengths and my confidence and what I want to do. And I've learned a lot from all the producers I've worked with to really feel like I was bringing something to the table with, yeah, with Knox. And really just felt like we were truly making a record, you know, and it was really cool. And being able to be in the studio with him finally, it was a fun process.
Really good. Really good. Because we all know that you've been through a lot the past few years. Mm-hmm. And having to go through that publicly is, I can't even imagine, you know, it's traumatic, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people go through big changes in their life, like mm-hmm. breakups or moving countries. I moved countries, you know, it's a big thing. Or you get married or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think that writing the new music has helped? Is it therapeutic for you to kind of work through everything that's going on in life? And
yeah, you know, I think that's a great thing about music is it kind of bypasses, you know, the mind and hits the soul and the heart. And yeah. It is therapeutic. It's therapeutic whether you wrote the song or somebody, you know, one of my friends sends you a song and they're just like, oh my gosh, man, you know, it hits you, you know, and you're like, man, I feel like I wrote that song. I feel like you've been, you know, following me around, watching me and wrote the song for me. So, yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think you go through things just to go through them. I don't think God puts you through things just to go through it. I think it's to set you up for where you need to go. And mm-hmm. sometimes you get, you know, knocked down a little bit to kind of readjust and, okay, well, hang on, where are we going? What, you know, and I think that's was one of the big deciding factors in working with Knox. And this is kind of going through the ups and downs of depression and this type, you know, different things and figuring out, okay, you know, coming out the other side of it. And I think it helped me be more vulnerable, helped me be more honest with fans. You know, I think, you know, being a Southern guy, you don't really talk about your problems too much or your feelings too much, you know, and especially a lot of times in the entertainment world, you know, you put the face on and go do it and then everything's fine, you know, you're great, you know. So I think just kind of having that mindset, you know, and can kind of make you hold up that wall a little bit and go, I don't want anybody to see, you know, this side, or I don't want anybody to see this side. But then you realize, you know, God gave you a platform to reach people that might not know how to say it in their own world, you know. And just like all of us, there was an artist, you know, in our lives, many of artists that have sang the song that got us through mm-hmm. whatever it was we were going through or to celebrate or whatever it was. And I think going through that made me realize that, you know, I could be that artist for other men and women, you know, that are struggling with trying to find the words of what they're going through. And I think sometimes it feels good for fans to know that somebody else is going through what they're going through, you know. It might be somebody that they hear on the radio or see on TV, and, you know, like we were just saying, you know, you put the smile on and they all think, oh my gosh, they got the, you know, perfect life, or they got all this, you know. And I think it's just a good reminder that we're all humans, and it really did help me open up and make what I feel is like the best project that I've made to date.
Yeah, I think the fans are really responding massively to this. I know we play your songs on the radio a lot.
Thank you.
And I mean, Spirits and Demons is great.
Thank
and
you
we
so
talked
much.
About this last year a little bit as well with why you decided to pick Megan, and kind of your voices just sound perfect together.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because we've never sang before. We were, you know, friends for a long time. We've never done, you know, in Nashville they have songwriters rounds, you know, where, you know, a lot of times you play those with your friends, because a lot of times one of your friends is hosting one, so they call around, hey, who's free, who's in town. And we never sang together, and I've always been a big fan of hers, and she's, you know, been crushing it in Canada and doing big things over there. And so when her name came across, I was like, oh man, that'd be awesome. So we sent it to her, and funny thing was, I didn't know this, but she was on the bus with Lainey Wilson when we sent it to her. And so her and Lainey listened to it, and Lainey's like, you gotta jump on the song, you know. And
Lainey's like, if you don't, I will.
Give it to me. And so we didn't cut the song together. I'd already cut my part of it. And so I was in the studio when she cut her vocals on it. And, you know, a song like Spirits and Demons, you need somebody that not only has that powerhouse vocal, but can deliver that lyric. And she just crushed it. And so, and then when it all came mixed together and our voices went together, and even live, you know, it sounds like the record. And so it's been a fun process with her and I, and being able to, you know, hang out with her more and her band and crew. And it's been really cool.
That's so cool. Now, are you working back in the studio with the new music on the horizon?
Oh, yeah.
It's the rumor that I heard.
Oh, yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, we got some new music coming out, and then we're, you know, looking and writing and going to be going back in and just keeping music coming out. You know, I think that's kind of the way that the industry is right now, and the way the fans just you know, can't get enough music. Yeah. And so we cut three new songs. One's coming out in March, and then we'll have a release date for the second one shortly after that. And then we'll be back in the studio and cut a few more, and just kind of cutting as I write or find songs that we believe are hits and that people need to hear.
That's so great. Does it come easy to you? Does songwriting come easy to you? Or is it sometimes, because I always wonder as an artist if some people say, I wrote the song in 30 minutes kind of thing. And you're like, how?
Yeah.
Others are like, no, it's a struggle. And I sit there and I've got one line that I want to put in a song. And the rest of the song takes, you know, months to produce. How is it for you when you're kind of writing a song? Is it a bit like a mixture of that?
Yeah, it's a mixture of both. I think over the last year or so, I've really honed in my crew of writers that, I don't know, bring out something in me that just makes me feel creative when I'm writing with them. And we've all been buddies for a long time. And it's cool to see, you know, we're kind of all coming up at the same time. And a few of my buddies are, you know, finally having big hits after writing in town for years. You know, I saw an interview yesterday with Hardy. He was like, man, I lived here for 8 years and wrote a song every day. Took me 800 songs to get my first cut.
Wow.
You know, and so to be a part of that, and I think all of us are kind of, like I said, coming up together. So you hit your stride, and that gives you that confidence. And then just, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. You know, so when you're in those rooms with those people and those friends of yours, and everybody's getting some success going, and it just, that creative flow just starts happening. So I think here lately, writing has came way easier for me than it has been. And also, I'm just a big fan of songwriters, and I'm a big fan of, you know, I love demos. I love listening, even if it's songs that, you know, Dirt Cheap by Cody Johnson. One of my good buddies, Josh Phillips, wrote it by himself.
So
I've been listening to that demo since another guy had it on hold.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just love the songwriter. I love the process of it, and I think now finding my crew of guys that I can go to, and sometimes even being on the road, you know, I'll call and be like, hey, you know, we're on the road for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I'm needing this. I'm needing a show opener, or hey, man, I got this song idea. If y'all are writing, you know, anyway, this week, let me know, you know, because I got this idea. And so I think I've been kind of piecing together my team, my songwriting team, and I think that's just really helped me creatively be more open and really made me fall back in love with songwriting for me.
Takes a village, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Is there a song, this will put you on the spot slightly, is there a song that you wish that you had written?
Yeah, Ships That Don't Come In by Joe Diffie.
Oh. Yeah. You answered that super quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been bugging me.
I'm always trying to write that song. Every time, I have not yet, but that, it just has, you know, you hear some of those songs. There's others as well that I wish, I'm like, oh man, Dirt Cheap's one of them. I told Josh, I was like, I'm proud you wrote it by yourself, but the writer in me is like, dang it, man. You know, where was
song.
I when I was, you know, when that idea was going around? But Ships That Don't Come In by Joe Diffie, it just has, first off, the whole hook of that song is so great. And then, you know, he has lines like, God made life a gamble, but we're still in the game, you know, like little lines like that that just never gets old. I've heard that song God knows how many times, and so it's one of those songs that I'm trying to write every time I go in the room.
Well, it's a pretty good one to have as your sort of the aim.
That's my pinnacle, you know. Yeah.
I did have a little stalk on your Instagram this morning.
Okay.
You were coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask, is there a cookbook in the future? Because you put basically a recipe of how to make the perfect steak in the grill. Like, it was very informative.
You.
It was like you sear it on this side for a certain amount of time until you get to this temperature, and then you flip it over. And it looked amazing.
Thank you
how
so
was
much.
It?
It was great. Yeah, it was great. It's kind of became like a thing for me when I go home. Because sometimes I'm only home for a couple of days, you know, so I'll just run to the local butcher or whatever and buy some meat. And I don't know, it's something creative that's outside of music that, I don't know, I've just kind of been pouring myself into. So, you know, maybe it might be a little Rachel Ray, Michael Ray cookbook happening. Who
there
knows?
You,
you know, a little collaboration.
Yeah. I think, well, there you go. Rachel, if you're listening,
we've got it done.
It's absolutely great. You're back on the road. Mm-hmm. You're heading out in like a day or so. You're basically in town for like a day, and that's it, right?
Yeah. So we're in town for today, and then tomorrow we got rehearsals, and then we have our first full band show of the year. We've had some acoustic shows, some radio shows to kick off the year, but this will be our first full band show. Yep, headed
that's
to St.
So.
Louis. So, it's fun. We got, you know, we're kind of tweaking just our set, and then we go back into rehearsals in April and really spend our 3 days rehearsing and dissecting, adding some new songs in there, taking some songs out, you know, doing some you know, figuring out some cool covers or just some cool mashups of covers and just having a, you know, figure out a way to keep the party going. And we tour so much that, you know, it's important to keep the show fresh. And I got a great group of guys and a great band that really helps me. You know, we get together all together and really just dissect the show and figure out, you know, what's going on and what goes here. And sometimes, you know, you do that and then you play a few shows and you're like, okay, that didn't work like we thought, you know, because you rehearse it in a warehouse. You know what I mean? Nobody's, no fans are there. There's five of us. And some of the team, some of the label management might peek in, you know, here and there. But so it's kind of just us. And then we go and it's trial by error. You know, we had the first few shows. We're like, okay, let's change that song. Or, you know, we felt a dip in the crowd there. So let's move this song here. And it's fun. And it's really fun when you have a group like I do who's passionate about music, who's passionate about my music, who's passionate about us as a band together. And even though it's my name, you know, I can't do what I do without those guys. So it's fun to sit in a room with them for, you know, 6-7 hours and just acoustic guitars sometimes and just figure out the set and just go through it. So
figure it out. Yeah. It's good that you were saying about, you know, sometimes when you get feedback from the fans in the shows that it changes things slightly. You teased something, a new song on Instagram, on social media.
Yep.
And is that... I mean, obviously it's intentional, but was it because you're like, I want to see whether the fans like it or not?
Yeah, you know, I was a buddy of mine, Michael Rotundo, who's an artist in town and a great songwriter. Him and I were, you know, just figuring out the TikTok world of things.
If you figure it out, let me know.
Yeah, if y'all figure it out, let us know, because we're still, all of us are still trying to figure it all out. But anyway, he was really the, you know, he was really helping me figure out a lot of that stuff out. And I said, man, I got this song, because... You know, what I've learned is, you know, some of those songs work better than others on platforms. And so we were kind of going through some of the new stuff that I had. And you know, we've loved, the song's called Nothing Else. And we've all loved that song since before I cut it. And so I was like, man, I really think this is something that might connect. And I think the first video had like 500,000 views and, you know, all these
fans
comments and stuff. And so then it was like, oh, and then the next one, same thing. And then the next one, the same thing, and all the same song. And so I'm like, okay, we got something here, which forced us to, you know, the team to get together and go, okay, we need to release this soon. And so, so that's the first release that we got of new music coming out next month.
That's exciting. Well, we can't wait.
Thank you.
It's so good to see you.
You too. Thanks for the time.
Best of luck on the road. Can't wait for the new music, and come back and see us again soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Country Line Songwriter Series with Michael Ray.
More episodes from this series are available on the Country Line app and website, or just search for the Country Line Songwriter Series wherever you normally get your podcasts.